Louis Armstrong, now did you or any of your close personal advisors, such as Stanley Rader, violate any of the laws as a result of your resistance to this state authority?
I don't know of any laws I ever violated, and nor was I accused of any, nor was Mr. Rader. Now, they talked about siphoning off or pilfering millions of dollars to our own use. You know where that came from? That's an interesting thing. Now, we have been taking a number of depositions as part of this lawsuit action, and we had found out a few things. We had taken depositions of the ex-members that had been put out of the church who were embittered and in a wrong attitude. And yet we find that not one of them are the ones or the source of the idea that we had pilfered off or siphoned off millions of dollars. Not one. You know where that came from? It's a funny thing. Came from the lawyer that had been chosen, Mr. Chodos. He's the one who thought of that. And no ex-member of the church and no member of the church ever thought of any such thing. It's ridiculous. I haven't had to go before our church and say I didn't siphon off millions of dollars. I just ignored it. Because the whole thing is so ridiculous. And the church members have responded 99%. Since this has happened, they have responded and our income is up and not down. The income is bigger than it was. Although we had to put a few out of the church. But the membership has grown greater. Because we've taken in more new members than we've had to send out of old members that were wrong.
Well, taking the offensive yourself, in a sense, you've accused the state of violating the law. How do you...
The state violated the law in two ways. In the first place, it was a conspiracy hatched on January the 2nd in the private chambers of Judge Pacht. And I have read the entire court reporter's report of every word that took place in that conspiracy. And it was a conspiracy without any definite accusation. We had broken no law. We were not charged with breaking any law. But it appointed, just without any reason whatsoever, appointed a receiver to take over the church and to fire me and get me out of who had been used by the eternal God in building his church. Well, how long do you think I was out? I wasn't out 2 seconds at any time. The church is still running. Paul blast the hell. Sure, the judge that then took over stopped the letter that I had written from going out of the Pasadena post office, but immediately we sent a letter out to another post office. They didn't know where it was going out, so they weren't able to stop it. And the money started rolling in. And the money comes to me now, right where I'm speaking to you now, from in Tucson, Arizona. We now are the biggest customer of the post office in Tucson by far. Because the letters are coming in from 1,500 up to 3,000 or 4,000 a day. And the average letter is containing somewhere around $85. That's about the average. So you see, the money is still coming. The work is still going on because the people believe in it. Now, another thing is the siphoning off this money and whether I needed to try to defend myself. I have a stack of signed statements, all on the same sheet of paper that was sent out for them to sign if they wanted to, of just flat sheets of paper, just like any flat sheet, one on top of another, which had reached up to the ceiling of this room and then some. Saying and telling how much money they have sent in the last several years and that they expected that money to go for preaching the gospel around the world and for the kind of trips that I have taken and that they approve the way the money has been expended. It has been materially reported to them and they approve it. Now, for some reason, our defense attorneys don't seem Well, they look at I am learning things, Art. I'm learning things about law that I never knew before. And let me tell you, it is rotten. Like everything else of human endeavor, it is rotten to the core. Our legal system, our court system, there is no justice in it. I've learned a lot of things I did not know before. Now, Stanley Rader is a lawyer, and he is a very brilliant young lawyer. He graduated from law school at the University of Southern California with the highest grades in history. He was always a great exponent for law, and man's law, and law and order. But now he says, he sees I have been right all along. The Bible speaks about the unjust judge. We've had a few such experiences ourselves. Do you ever stop to think a judge is a human being just like we are, and that he has the same selfish motives as everybody else? Why is he any different? He's looking out for number one, the same as everybody else is. That is the way it seems like it is. So there was this conspiracy in Judge Pott's office, and they sent the receiver to fire me and to take over. Now, actually, it was a fishing expedition. They had some trumped-up charges, as I say, this lawyer Chodos, a lawyer in Beverly Hills, who happened to know these judges and was on a personal acquaintance basis with them, and they hatched up the whole conspiracy. And he is the one who put in the idea that we had siphoned off millions of dollars.
Well, now you've written that contrary to the conception that Christ always submitted meekly to
authorities.
He did resist the governmental powers of the day, didn't he? What form did that resist?
At the time of Christ, the Roman Empire was pretty well ruling the whole world. And Judea and the city of Jerusalem were all, of course, under the Roman Empire government. Now, the way the Roman Empire did the ruling, they had one or more garrisons of 100 soldiers each. And I know of one that's mentioned in the New Testament, and they might have had another, I don't know. But they had a king or governor there over that local section under the Caesar, who was in Rome. But outside of that, they made the Jews govern themselves. They were really smart. They saved all the expenses of government, but the Jews had to do it, and they had to collect the money to do it. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were the ones that were the group they chose to do the governing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were governors. And to some extent, the scribes went along with them in all of this. Now, they thought that Jesus come and proclaiming the future kingdom of God, that what Jesus meant, he was going to come as a subversive and overthrow Caesar right then and there and take over the government then. And when Jesus was only proclaiming something that was going to happen 1900 years and some later, and it's already been 1900 years. So at the time, they sought to get Jesus. Let me just take a couple of texts here in in John 10, verses 39 and 40. Therefore, they, that is these Pharisees and Sadducees and so on, sought again to take Jesus, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first had baptized, and there he abode. In other words, when they came and tried to get him, he escaped from them. That's what I've done. I didn't run away. I was already here. But God must have known what was coming, and God saw to it that I was based right here in Tucson when this happened, and there was no way that the California courts could get to me. Oh, they've been outsmarted completely, but they don't realize that yet. They would like to get rid of it right now if they could drop it without losing face. But we're not going to let them drop it without losing face. And every day we're getting a little more. We're building up the case more and more. And we're
going to just direct the court some of these days. And they're going to find they're trapped because they have started a wrong thing. Now there's another case here, another scripture I'd like to read, Matthew 23. How Jesus gave in to the government of man. The government of man, remember, was being conducted at all except the highest levels by the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. Jesus said in Matthew 23:15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Again in verse 16, "Woe unto you, blind guides." In verse 17, "You fools and blind." That is how Jesus talked to the government of that time. Verse 19, "You fools and blind." Verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And then again in verse 24, "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Then in verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, clean on the outside, rotten inside." That's the way they were. And then in verse 29, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Verse 33, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" That is the way Jesus Christ talked to the administrators at the lower levels, comparable to what would come to us in his day. I wanted to mention one more scripture in what I was mentioning there in that line. Peter and John have been thrown in prison after healing a cripple and preaching a sermon in which about 2,000 were converted. And they were thrown into prison overnight. And the next morning they were threatened very severely, "Don't you ever dare preach this name of Christ again." Now, and they were a little shaken up. I think anybody would be. Sure. And there were the government authorities. They went to their own people and they prayed. And God answered by shaking the very house like an earthquake where they were, but not the surrounding houses. And you read of that in about the 5th or 6th chapter, isn't it? The book of Acts, long in there somewhere. And I just wanted to mention that.
That's the distinction of being subject to civil authority and whether they obey it or not.
Yeah. Well, so far as being subject to the civil authority, they are referring, and one of our ex-ministers has made a great point of that, as you read in the 13th chapter of Romans. Notice it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now remember what I said, that God told man, go form your own governments, and they're formed under Satan. And that's the kind of government we have. And yet God says we're to be subject to those powers. And yet he says that we're not fighting against human beings, we're fighting against wicked spirits in high places that are invisible and people don't see them and don't know they exist. Now, let every one of you be subject to the higher powers. That is speaking to those of us as far as our individual lives are concerned. That is not a message to the church as a body. There is no power but of God. You see, God gave that power when he set Lucifer on the throne. And God has not removed it as yet. He is still allowing Satan there. His name has been changed from Lucifer to Satan. There's no power but of God. The powers that be were ordained of God. Whoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and so on. for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, that is true in most things. Satan is wily, and he is very clever, and he poses as an angel of light. Now, he takes, for example, he takes two of God's great Ten Commandment laws, against murder and against stealing. And you'll find that almost every law of man has a law against stealing or against murder. Well, Satan could not keep a society going any other way. But Satan is trying to make this his society and not God's society. And he's fighting God. Now, I'm thinking about a different level altogether than an individual just living in his own life. I'm thinking about attacking a church. God's church is organized. It is not an organization. God's church is a spiritual organism. Let me repeat that. God's church is a spiritual organism rather than an organization, but it is organized. And the government of God does rule it. And this thing that brought by the state of California was brought without any accusation. We were not charged with any crime. It was brought to take over a complete government of another kind of government, the government of God. That's what was, excuse my shouting.
Yeah, that's all right.
But I get a little burned up on that point, because man has always tried to make anyone on the side of God look mad in every way that they could.
Well, now, you recently wrote, quote, "In the history of mankind on earth, we have come down to the final question, who is Lord?" Now, in what way is that the focal point of human history?
Well, so far as the world is concerned, remember I said a while back, the world is cut off from God completely. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." John 6:44. I quote it, I don't turn to it, that's word for word. Father to God except by Christ. And anyone that tries to climb up some other way, he said, is a thief and a robber. And yet he said that no man can come to him unless the Father draws him. Do you know that the Father, God the Father, has only drawn a very few from the time of Adam until now? But he set us a time of 6,000 years to keep hands off this world and said to man, go form your own governments, form your own religions, create your own kind of gods made out of wood, marble, or steel, or whatever, and your own kind of knowledge and dissemination of knowledge. Now then, in the Garden of Eden, I said there were the two trees. The one tree, it's in duality. He created man with the one spirit, but he created man to need a second spirit. Now that second spirit was available to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God offered it to them freely. They didn't have to repent. They didn't have to come by any conditions of any kind. All they had to do was reach out and take it. But they didn't. Instead, they rejected God as the revealer of knowledge. Now, the other tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To take that was to take to themselves the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. Now, only God can tell you that. Man cannot of himself define what is good as opposed to what is evil. I'll give you one little illustration that's quite common. You will find a few million people in the United States that still think it's all right to smoke cigarettes. You'll find a few other million who think it's all wrong to smoke cigarettes. You see, people don't agree on what is right and what is wrong. They just think they do. But when you get down to it, they don't. Now, man was made to need the second spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Let's turn back to it just a second, the third chapter of Genesis, and at the 22nd verse, and the eternal God said, Behold, the man who becomes one of us to know good and evil. He took the knowledge of good and evil to himself. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life, that is, get the Holy Spirit of God, and eat and live forever and gain eternal life or immortality. Therefore, the eternal God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So, he, God, drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, God shut man off from any association with him at that time. Now, God in effect said, all right, Adam, I have created you. You have had your chance to accept my government, to reject the way of Satan, but you have heard me and you have heard Satan, and you have decided to rebel the same as he did. You have rejected my government. Therefore, I say to you, go and form your own government, your own way. Your mind is not complete and cannot be until you receive my Holy Spirit. And you have rejected that. And I'm driving you out of the Garden of Eden unless you go back and receive that Spirit. Consequently, I will not call you to judgment during this next 6,000 years, but for 6,000 years, I am sentencing you and your posterity, which means the whole world, to being cut off from me, your Creator God. Completely cut off. You cannot have any contact or connection with me whatsoever. You will go your own ways and the ways of your own thinking. Now remember, Satan was still there and God didn't shut him off. So Satan has ruled over man and has slayed man, and man's society has built the world we have. God said, build your own governments. You rejected mine. God said, you rejected me as your God, so go form your own religions. Look at the religions we have in the world. They're just fighting against one another all the time. Look at the governments in the world. Constant wars, trying to get together. And incidentally, there isn't going to be any peace in the Middle East, because man likes that spirit that would bring him peace. And he has the spirit that is antagonism against one another. So God said, you go form your own fund of knowledge. You've rejected me as the source of knowledge. You've taken to yourself the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. So you won't even have the right knowledge. You found your own fund of knowledge. Do you know that the most ignorant people in this world are the most highly educated? They are the most ignorant. And the time is coming in the world tomorrow when we're going to have classes of de-education, of unlearning. And those that have gone through and had the highest degrees in the universities are going to have to unlearn the many things that they have been taught there under man's kind of created knowledge. God didn't create it. God was no part of it, but Satan was. Now then, we're in a world where Satan has created the education. Satan has masterminded the governments, and they're all fighting one another. Satan has masterminded the religions. And in the New Testament, there was only one church that was God's. That was founded by Jesus Christ in 31 A.D. in Jerusalem. And it has existed ever since. Now, of all of the religions in the world, and there are many pagan religions in Oriental countries, and of all of the denominations that call themselves Christians, more than 250, you know that not one except that original church that Christ founded knows who and what God is. I may come back to that a little later. Not one knows what or why man is. What is man? Why was he put here? What was God's purpose in putting him on earth? Not one of them writing a book on that. Not one knows what was the gospel that Jesus brought. His message was the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is more than just the government of God. The kingdom of God is the family of God, of those that are born into the family of God until they too are God. They are sons of God, but they will be ruling the whole world at the end of this 6,000 years, and we're within a generation of it now and less. All of the present living generation. I hope to live myself to see the second coming of Christ and the end of this age. I know I'll be up in my 90s, no question about it, because it can't happen for 2 or 3 years yet. There is a great, for example, the Great Tribulation to last 3.5 years. That definitely has not come yet. And so many things that have to be done. We can't set a date, but we are very, very close to that time. There will be a union of nations in Europe, all under the Roman Catholic Church. It'll be a union of church and state. It'll be a sort of resurrection of the medieval Holy Roman Empire. But that has to happen first. And the United States has a lot of things coming to it that it doesn't realize now, and I guess I better not get into that right on this time at this program, but we are going to have to pay very bitterly for a lot of things in this country.
Maybe that's the beginning of the tribulation.
Yes. But that time is coming. We're in the very, very last days. I know that, and that's why this gospel must go out now. It hasn't been going out since about 58-60 AD. The gospel has not been going out to the world. Instead, the men preach man's gospel about the person of Christ. You know, you hear, for example, there is one denomination respected in the world that has a program preaching Christ to the nations. And they do. They're in other nations beside the United States and on radio and television. And there are many such efforts at getting out the gospel, but it's man's gospel about Christ. They don't know what the real gospel is. The real gospel is the message Christ brought, which is what is the message he brought. Is in Mark 1:1 and 1:14 and 15, which the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the family of God, begotten and born of God, which also becomes the government of God and rules the whole universe. Not only just the earth, but ultimately will be ruling the whole universe. It's so much there that the world doesn't quite understand.